Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
I get to sit down, finally. John chapter 8, verse 31. I'll read you a few verses, then I'm going to go to work. Let's see. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye should be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You can be seated. I got a short sermon, but I could probably turn it into a long sermon. So I'm not sure which way this is going to go. But I do want to preach to you my heart today. A lot of times, as the minister, you're trying to come up with something to encourage people, or you're trying to find the will of God. God, what do you want me to say? And sometimes you just got to preach what's on your heart. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The Greek word for servant here is doulos. And the word servant has kind of lost a little bit of its meaning over time. But if you go back and you study this word out, you'll find out that this is not talking about someone who has entered the service industry. This is, for example, a waitress that has entered into the service industry to serve you, or the bank teller to serve you. It's not talking about that at all. This is talking about a bondman, a man of servile condition. This is forced slavery, this word, doulos. And so when we read it, when he says that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, whoever commits sin is the forced slave of sin, the forced bondman of sin. I had an uncle that lied a lot. Has anybody ever had an uncle like that? Somebody in your family just lies all the time? Somebody came to your mind just now when I said that. You're like, yeah. And everybody called him a liar because he lied all the time. Somebody said this one day. They said, "Here he comes. He's bound to lie to you." And I never really thought about it, but he really was bound to lie to you. It was a bondage of his. It was something that he was forced to do. I don't know of anybody that wants to be labeled a liar, but man, sometimes when sin has a hold of you, there's no way you can get out of it. And the truth is, sometimes I get aggravated at sinners. I'm the only one. Y'all were dead quiet right there. Like, y'all got all the love in the world for everybody. And just like, oh, I can't believe you, Pastor. Sometimes when I'm around people and they talk filthy, it gets on my nerves. And I get aggravated at them. And there's been people that I've listened to. Listen, I work in the coal industry. I'm on a CB a lot. I hear a lot. I hear a whole lot. We got different channels where we work, and sometimes they venture over on our channel. And I've gone on there. I said, hey, I got to listen to this on your channel. We run a G-rated show on this channel, so I'm not listening to it here. But there's times when you absolutely have to listen to it. And you know what you do? You get aggravated at the person. There are people that I like. I don't like them just because of the sin that they commit. But when I read this and I understand this in the context and I figure out the problem with the sinner is sinners sin. That's what sinners do. That's what makes them sinners, is they sin. And as such were some of you. The truth is, we all walked according to the course of this world. The truth is, we were all the children of disobedience. The truth is, we were bound to sin just like the sinner is bound to sin. And when I see it in a different light, and I understand that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's the slave of sin, and that's why he sins. I begin to look at the sinner in a different light. It's easy to forget where Jesus brought us from. It's easy once we get on the right side and the righteous side, it's easy to look at the sinner and wonder how they remain in their sin. To you ministers, let's be honest, sometimes you give an altar call and you look at the sinner and they sit in their pew with tears running down their face, but yet they won't come to the altar and you wonder why. But it wasn't that long ago when you were sitting in a pew and God was dealing with your heart and you wouldn't yield. Can I get an amen? Whoever commits sin is the bondman of sin, the bondwoman of sin. The problem with sin is it's tricky. The problem with sin is it's got a way to make you think while you're living in bondage that you're still free. It's got this way of the bondwoman is in bondage thinking she's calling the shots. The bondman is in bondage, but he feels like that he's running the show and he's in control and he's free. And the truth is, there are strings that tie them and they're under the control of the grand puppet master who is leading them to destruction. And the whole time they're saying, who are you to tell me I need to be free? They said, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. Well, let me beg to differ. 400 years, they were in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh. How easily we forget bondage. 70 years in Babylon, they are in bondage. While they made this statement, they said, we're not in bondage to any man. They are under Roman government. Roman troops are walking around the temple. And they're saying, we're not. They control their taxes. They control their land. And they control their worship. And they say, we're not in bondage. This is how it works. When people are in sin, the demons can be walking the perimeter to make sure that they stay in the right place while they celebrate what they believe is freedom. I want to preach to you something today, because it's time the church wakes up and sets the world on fire with an anointed gospel that the world needs to hear. Can you say amen? You know what the problem is with people? They got a bad taste of church. They went to church. When they went to church, there was a problem, because anybody ever heard preaching like this? It's the truth anyhow. I don't care if you like it or not. Honey, it's the truth. You ever heard preaching like that? I don't care if you like it or not. Well, then why are you preaching it? If you don't care if I like it or not, if I'm going to listen or not, then why? I care. I care. If you turn this gospel away, there is eternal consequences. I care. There's some people who went to church their whole life, and you invite them to church, and they're like, I don't want to go to church. Why don't you want to go to church? Church is boring. Anybody ever been to a boring church? Amen. My father-in-law said that service was dry as cracker juice. You've been in that place where you're just, I said this, I went to churches where it was so quiet that I was afraid to sneeze. Then I started going to church that believed in divine healing, and I was afraid to sneeze because they didn't think I had enough faith to get healed. I guess you just can't sneeze in church. That's my conclusion. And there's this stigma about church. And hey, listen, let me tell you something. City on the Hill is not for everybody. But Jesus is for everybody. Not everybody likes this style of music. Not everybody likes to be yelled at when you're being. Some people like to be learning in the beauty of monotone. And they learn that way. And I get that. Whether the Jesus is for everybody. We have a gospel that the sinner is looking for. See, I get aggravated at the sinner. Not y'all, me. I get aggravated at the sinner when the sinner is bound to do what the sinner does. The truth is, the sinner is looking for something to fill a void in their heart, and they haven't found it yet. They've been searching for something because in their heart, there is a God-shaped hole, and they try everything in the world to fill that hole. And I want to tell you, I've been there too. I looked high, and I looked low, but I couldn't find nothing to fill that emptiness until one day, I knelt at an altar and I found a man named Jesus, and ever since then I've not been the same. Can I get a witness? Amen. Nothing works. Nothing works to feel it. But they're searching. The bondman has no voice. Sin is not a democracy. You don't get the vote. Oh, we try. Come on, let's be honest, we try. When we were in sin, we would say things like, I'm not doing this no more. Never, ever, 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 ever again. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I don't even know what that means. You made promises. But what you didn't realize was you weren't in control. You were bound. And because you were bound, you could not free yourself. Oh, for a moment it would work, but then you would realize that the grip of sin was too strong. Anybody say amen? I can do this. I got this. This is my last time. I just need one more chance, only to find out that the enemy is still in control. The illusion of freedom is powerful. I'll talk to a sinner who is obviously bound, that feels like that somehow as a Christian, I'm the one that's bound. You Christians live such a stringent life. I don't know what church you go to, but I'm the happiest I've ever been in my existence. And I've been walking with him for a long time. As a matter of fact, the longer I walk with him, the more I know about him, the more freedom I realize I actually possess. Because he that the Son has set free is free indeed. See, when you're free indeed, listen really, really close. I still make mistakes. That's how free I am. Wait a minute. I feel like I'm confessing to a bunch of Catholic priests. And y'all are just looking at me like, oh, not me. I don't make any mistakes. And I never get aggravated at the sinner. Well, please forgive me. I get in trouble. I make mistakes. To your parents in this room, how awesome would it be if you could stop your kids from making any mistakes? Wouldn't that be awesome? But let me ask you something, parent. Where did most of your learning take place in your life? Amen, amen. It's so easy to forget when we were there. Amen. It's easy to forget when we were there. And it wasn't that long ago. It would be awesome if we, but you know what? I am so free that God gives me freedom to make mistakes. And I've made some good ones. Really, really good ones. I've messed up so bad that I wonder if I could ever get back up. You taught it in Sunday school, but I've got a father that comes along and picks me up. Can I tell you all this? I know this is worth repeating, Dave. Dagon was in the temple. They brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, and they set it near Dagon. The Bible says that Dagon fell over. And when he fell over, the Bible says that they came in and set Dagon in his place. Listen, I don't need a God that I have to set in his place. I need a God that can set me in my place. When I fall, he picks me up. When I'm down, he lifts me up. When I go astray, I need a shepherd that'll leave the 99 and come to where I got that kind of shepherd, man. He comes to where I am, and he picks me up. Verse 33, we be Abraham. I like the way they said that. We be Abraham's seed. Never in bondage. The problem is, listen really, really close to this. The sinner cannot see what holds them. The Bible says that their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. They can't see, they can't detect what's holding them. The chains are undetected. They're not heavy. Certain times, Johnny, they get out, and in that place of sin, let me tell you something about sin. Sin turns into misery. Oh, sin is fun for a little while. Amen? Come on. For a little while, the Bible says sin has pleasure for a season. The problem is the season ends. And when the season ends, man, it's misery. When you're there trying to pick up the pieces and you don't have anybody to pick the pieces up together, it's a tough place to be. Heard a guy preach on Humpty Dumpty one time. He said all the king's horsemen and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And the king's horsemen might not have been able to, and the king's men might. But the king, if the king was there, he can take anything that's broken and put it back together again. The king can come along when you're trying to pick up the pieces and you're broken. The king can come along and he can make it all right. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. But Darren, I got to have a way to get this message to those that are bound. I want you to be honest. We're in church. Be honest. Have you ever wanted to witness to somebody in your family that was lost and you didn't because you thought that they would find you annoying? Raise your hand right now. See, now I'm making y'all confess right back at you. You're like, man, Dustin, I want to tell them. I want to tell them, but I'm afraid that they'll start avoiding me. I'm a little nervous right now because I don't want to. Anybody ever been called a holier than thou by a sinner? Raise your hand. Let me see y'all. Look around all the holier than thous. Because you try to witness to them and you try to tell them about the goodness of God, but the issue is it don't come across real good. And they say, oh, who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me? I want to help us today, if I can. How can I reach them? How can I convince them? What can I give them so that they can see that what they call freedom is true bondage and will end in eternal torment? Sin is a cruel taskmaster. Because the wages of sin is death. It's death. That service that we give sin ends in death. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the second death. Let me take that. Watch this. You shall know. Next verse. Jesus answered, verily, verily. Whenever Jesus repeats himself, take note. Hey. Listen up. Verily, verily, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But ye shall know the, come on, Bible readers. We've all heard this, right? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What does that mean? Well, if I can get a person that's lost and bound to memorize a scripture, then they know truth, and they'll be free. Listen, I know some of the heathenistic people I've ever met in my life know scripture. And they are heathens. I know some heathens that try to tell me how to live. I got one another day. I got him. He going around checking me out. This dude's lost. He going around the mines checking me out. Went up to him and said, "Hey, has Damon ever witnessed to you much?" He said, "I think he has. Has he invited you to church?" He said, "Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot." So the guy came and got on me. He's lost, and he came and got on me. He said, "Hey, I asked him, had you invited him to church and witnessed to him?" He said, "Not much. You need to do better." I said, "I got a great idea." I said, "Why don't you get saved and show me how it's done?" I said, "Because I don't know if you know this or not. Disciples make disciples. I'm a pastor. It's my job to feed sheep. He ain't sheep. You ain't sheep. Y'all need to get saved so y'all can become disciples and I can feed both of you." See, preacher. Everybody wants to put it on the preacher. Everybody wants the preacher to have to go witness that. Let me tell you right now, you got a job to do. You can touch people that I can't touch. You can reach people that I can't reach. But if I can feed you something that gets something in your spirit to where when you get there, you got an anointing dripping off of you that the world is looking for. Amen. See, here's the issue. The issue is when the church is sinning, we have a block. That did not go good over there. I'm gonna come over here. When I'm sinning, it breaks fellowship with God. When I break fellowship with God, I don't have what I need to convince people that God is good because fellowship is broken. Oh, you can say all the right words. Come on, you ever been there? You ever had a preacher say all the right stuff, but there was no witness? Hope it's not happening right now. But you're like, man, they said it, all the right stuff, but there's just something missing. When we're sinning and we think we're getting by because we understand the grace of God, what we're doing is creating a block for the whole kingdom to flow through. God needs a vessel that he can use. Now watch this. He said, "You shall know the truth." This ain't about memorizing the scripture. This ain't about having the right doctrine. This ain't about having the right creed, going to the right denomination, or the right franchise. This is not what this is about. Well, if you come to our franchise, we know better than the franchise down the street. Our church is better. If you learn my doctrine and you learn Tulip and if you learn Arminianism and if you learn whatever it is that I need to put in, then you're going to know truth. And when you know this truth, I'm going to say right now, I can fill your head plumb full of knowledge and you still be bound. Because knowing this truth is not about memorizing a scripture, a doctrine, a philosophy, or a creed. No, this is about knowing. This word knowing is different than head knowledge. This is a knowing that when the Bible talks about knowing, it produces fruit. You shall know the fruit. Gnosko is a little different word in the Greek. And what it means is that you know through experience. How many people in here, coal miners, raise your hand. You ever had an inspector come to the mines that was trained in an office? And you're like, oh boy. They got all the head knowledge, but they ain't got no experience. You know what I'm talking about? There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a whole lot of difference. I can give you head knowledge, but man, there's experiential knowledge. And this is what he's talking about. He's saying, "You shall know the truth," means experiential, means you got an experience with truth. Now, what is the truth? An experience with the Bible? Here's the problem. We got people all over the world worshiping the Bible, and they understand the Bible. And let me tell you what the Bible is. The Bible is a book about truth. Yeah. Nah, let me say that again. I want you to get this. The truth is not a thing, it's a person. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. See, here's the ticket. When I know the truth, let me say it a little better. When I know the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, see, I got to understand that He is the Word of God. So when Jesus preached, the Word of God was speaking the Word of God. He's the Word. And because He is the Word, if I know Him, then there is freedom. How do I know Him? How do you know Him? How do you know anybody? Let me tell you who I know better than anybody in this room. Who? Tracy. You know why I know Tracy better than anybody in this room? Because I have graciously allowed her to live with me for 30 years. 30 years of talking to somebody, you get to know them. I can see it coming sometimes. And I know she can too. 30 years of talking to each other. You don't think I don't know her? You know how you get to know somebody? Spend time with them. Talk to them. You don't have to be King James. You don't have to talk King James to pray to God. Some people think that makes them sound more holy or something. Lord, as we come before Thy throne this morning, O God, will You show Your mercy unto Thy servant? It's like, Lord, help me. You know what? Jesus don't have to read King James Version. Old English, you know what? Peter didn't say a whole lot when he was sinking. No, when Peter was sinking, he just said, save me. And Jesus immediately, it wasn't, oh my, could you imagine that? Could you imagine? You're sinking. The Bible says He began to sink. I don't understand that. I do not understand beginning to sink. If you're walking on water, I think you're sunk or you're on top. But the Bible says He began to sink. And that's just God's grace, I guess. Because, I mean, he's slowly going down. And he figures out, I'm in trouble. And all he said was, save me. That was it. Could you imagine this? Your most kind and precious Heavenly Father. Too late, pal. You better learn how to talk to Him. Because we got a God that wants somebody to talk to Him. And when we talk to Him, we're going to get to know Him. And when we worship Him, we're going to get to know Him. And when we read His Word, we're going to get to know Him. And the more we learn about Him, the more He's going to flow through us. Can you say amen? When you're not where you need to be, people around you suffer. I know this is a Wednesday sermon. Sorry. Sunday people getting beat up today. Brandon, when you're not walking where God wants you to walk, people around you suffer. You too, Johnny. But man, when we're in relationship, watch this, and I'm closing. Y'all ready? Come on. I told you I could make a short sermon, a long one. Where's my musical instruments? Here's what I've noticed. The anointing changes things. I can't describe how it works. I just know it works. And I think that a sinner made in the image of God has the breath of God in their lungs. Let me tell you something about the wind of God. The wind of God is not bound. The Bible says the wind bloweth wherever it wants to go. Let me tell you something about God. God does whatever He wants. I had a guy one time look at me and he said, man, I just want to tell you, I think your God is arrogant. I said, yeah. I think He has every right to be arrogant. He's God. If If Tracy came to me one day after 30 years and said, Damon, I found somebody better. They're more in shape. They got more hair. I mean, she could give a plethora of reasons. They make more money. I found somebody better. And they're nicer to me than you. And I found somebody else and I'm leaving you. As hard as that would be for me to take, I believe she could find somebody better than me. But when somebody looks at God and says, I found something better than you, that don't compute. Man, that don't compute with me. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there is no high like the Most High. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy you like he can. The difference is you got to get to know him. So that person who has the breath of God in their lungs, see, this is why I don't believe in atheism. I don't think atheists are real. No, I'm being serious. I really don't. I think they're lying to themselves. Because if they are demon possessed, the very demons that control them believe in one God and tremble. I mean, the very thing controlling them. Because if the presence gets right, I don't care how bad you are. Ask the man on the other side. When Jesus got off the boat and he was controlled by legion, when the presence got right, those demons had to run and bow down and worship. Because, oh, you're not hearing me right now. People can suppress it. The difference is they do suppress it. I just confess it. I'm an atheist. So you're positive. Oh, absolutely positive. There is no God. So you're telling me that nowhere in this universe there is not an all-knowing being. Absolutely. But to tell me that, do you realize you have to be saying that you are the all-knowing being? Did you catch that? I know for you can't. You can't do that. So what is it? It's bondage. It's blindness. It's lying to themselves. So what do I got to do? I got to bring them truth. But I got to bring them truth in a way. There is no blockage between me and him because I'm not giving them a scripture. I'm giving them Jesus. How important is for us as believers to overcome? I'll tell you how important it is. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting on us to show up. You know what we're doing? Here I am, Lord, send him. Here I am, Jesus, send Brandon. We should sing a song, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. We never said, I wish my soul would catch on fire. We wish somebody else's would. Well, I wish somebody's soul would. Well, I just wish it hurried and happened. I have never sang, I wish my soul would catch on fire. You know where it's got to begin? With us. It's got to begin with us. If you're a believer in this room, we got to give them truth. That's not just a Bible verse. That's the presence of God that goes with us. If we're out of fellowship, you know what we become? Tinkling brass. Ting, 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 ting. And they're just like, shut up. But man, when you're in relationship with Jesus and you've been knowing him and you walk up to somebody, there's something that bears witness in their spirit because that's his breath in there. And when that anointing and that wind starts flowing and that wind starts moving, the very thing that gave them life, the very Spirit of God that gave them life, there's something in them that begins to click. I see it happen a lot during altar calls. You know what they do when it starts clicking? They go to the bathroom where they find a kid to play with. Listen, church, when it's altar call time, grab your kids. Don't let anybody have them. I don't care if your lost sister come to church. She's like, here, I'll hold her. No. You know why? Because they look for a distraction. Because there's a connection taking place. Man, if you're here right now and God's dealing with your heart, come and pray. I want to pray. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. God, you're so good. God, you're so good.